This evening, we're going to continue talking about the heart, and we've already discussed the heart, which is composed of two what things of our being?
Spirit and soul.
Spirit and soul, right? Our spirit, our recreated human spirit, coupled with our mind, our will, and our emotions, which those three comprise the soul. So our heart is a combination of that spirit and of our soul. Now then, let me say here, while it's on fresh on my mind, if we have a very weak spirit, you know, our spirits can be a lot like our bodies. If we nourish our bodies, we're going to have strong bodies. If we don't nourish our spirits with God's word and intake of fellowship from others, we're going to be malnourished spiritually. And if our soul is not subject to the word of God, if our mind, our will, and our emotions are not subject to God's will, then our soul will control our spirit instead of our spirit controlling our soul. Amen. We have to keep that in mind, that we always want to have our spirit, the born again spirit, having the preeminence over our thought life, over our will, our decision maker, and over our emotions. All right, now, so tonight we're going to talk about, last week we talked about the undivided heart or a divided heart. This evening we're going to talk about a bitter heart. Who's ever met bitter people? Anybody? Bitter heart? Okay. So along with the bitter heart, we're going to look at scriptures that talk about not only bitter, but bitter and envious. Can we think of something more ugly than a bitter heart that is envious of others? How many of us believe that when someone is bitter at heart and they're envious of others, that they will do nothing, stop at nothing short of trying to get back at or be better than the other person? Who's ever heard of keeping up with the Joneses? So the neighbor next door is driving a brand new car. Well, darn, I'm going to go down to the dealership. Never mind if I can make the payments. But I'm going to drive something nicer and better than him or her. Okay, so let's open our Bibles to James chapter 3, please. We're going to take a closer look at the bitter and envious heart. Very, very ugly on a person, I think it is. James chapter 3. We're going to read a kind of a paragraph of verses of scripture at the very end of James 3. We're going to begin with verse 13. Who is wise and understanding among you? Great question. Who is wise and understanding among you? What are the next three words? Let him show. Did it say let him talk? No, does it? Who's ever met someone that likes to talk? Talk's a big game, but when the chips are down, there is absolutely no walk. I've met too many of them. they are my pet peeve. I just, maybe they're comforting themselves by talking about something. They feel like they're doing something about it, but not really doing anything about it. So James says, who is wise and understanding among you? How many of us know that we can proclaim ourselves to be wise and understanding, but if our actions do not prove that we are wise and understanding, are we really wise and understanding? No. We must show that we are wise and understanding, not just talk. And how do we show it? Notice the next part of the verse. By good conduct, that his or her works are done in the humility of wisdom. What is the New International Version? How does that read, the last part of that, verse 13? The humility that comes from wisdom. Okay, keep that in mind. Humility is going to be big. It's huge. We'll look at it here shortly. Notice verse 14. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. Self-seeking also is translated as selfish ambition. Right? Self-seeking, verse 14, or selfish ambition. If you have bitter envy, you see that bitter envy, we're talking about the bitter heart, the envious heart, and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. Okay, so let's define, since we're talking about bitter envy, I feel like we need to define self-seeking first. So let's put selfish ambition. Who thinks what James is talking about here? Selfish ambition. Greek word, erethea. Erethea. Get this. It is a word that describes what politicians do. They electioneer for position, number one, and for power, number two. They electioneer. It is also translated, let me erase this, as having a party spirit. Now, don't think of party as getting wasted or drinking or getting stoned. Think of party as political party. What do politicians do? Don't they try to get as many people on board with their agenda? Isn't that what happens at the Capitol? Am I right, Bestie? So it is with this party spirit. We try to get people to buy into our agenda so that then I can have leverage to get my way when a vote or a decision is made. Now, understand, James is not talking to unbelievers. James is talking to a very carnal and worldly church. Okay? James is talking to a church, to believers that are very carnal. In fact, hold your finger here with me in James 3 and go with me to 1 Corinthians 3. 1 Corinthians 3, beginning with verse 1. And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it, and even now you are still not able, for you are still carnal. For where there are envy, strife, and divisions among you, notice, for where there are envy, there you go, strife and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? Did you see that? He said, I can't talk to you like spiritually mature people. I have to talk to you as carnal people, as babes in Christ. And in fact, he likens, notice carefully, church family, he likens a babe in Christ in verse 1 to, in verse 3, to a mere unsaved person. Isn't that amazing? How many of us know that baby Christians do not conduct themselves like they should in Christ? They conduct themselves with the way they are programmed by their former life outside of Christ. Right? I cannot talk to you as spiritually mature. I have to talk to you as carnal people, as babes, as mere unsaved men, verse 3. You're behaving like mere unsaved people. How many of us know that when we're saved, we are to put off envy, we are to put off strife, we are to put off divisions among us, right? You know, one verse of scripture that floats through my head all the time especially when I'm in situations that present themselves that can be very uncomfortable and potentially explosive. Who's ever been in situations that could be potentially explosive? Who has found out that those potentially explosive situations always involve other people? Hello. I think it was last Thursday, I was at an assisted living facility where, as hospice chaplain, and I went to the office to talk to the director of the entire facility, let that person know who my patients were that day. That's kind of protocol. Look, this, I'm here to see so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so. And they were on the phone, and they were mad. You could hear the person on the other line of the phone yelling at the director. Well, the director only took enough of that, and she in turn said, I don't need to be talking to you when you're screaming at me like this, and boom. And then she slammed the phone down, didn't hang up. She hung up. Apparently what happened, there was a patient in that facility. Get this. This is drama deluxe. And you only hear it at Locust Grove Church. Okay? So what happened is our company's director of nurses, she had told the family that the director of the facility that the family's mother was in, that the director of that facility didn't want her there anymore. And that was not the case. And then a couple days later, the director of nurses is in the director of the facility's office, and they're all kissy kissy lovey dovey. Isn't that a, but you know, well, I was in the middle of that, because that director of the facility then started, I can't believe you're a nurse and this and that. I'm just listening. Now, let me say here, it was not going to get in the middle of that. My name was not going to be in the middle of that situation. Yoo-hoo. I just listened, and I let the cat fight happen. And when it was my time to go see the patients, I just kind of tiptoed out of the office with my head down. And I said, Joe, keep your mouth shut. The point there is, listen carefully, church family, that's the way the world conduct themselves. That's the way they conduct themselves. That's not the way we as Christians should conduct ourselves. Now, I do believe, and let me say here, I do believe that if we have a concern, if we have a complaint, that we should respectfully submit it to the right person in the hierarchy of that company. Can I get a witness on that, please? But I'm not going to go to this person and that person and start talking. You know what? I've learned that in that office, there's a lot of gossip that goes on, because I overhear some of it. And you know what I do? I just pick up my papers and I go to my office and get my sheets ready. I'm going to see these patients, and I'm not involved. I'm not, you know what? You're not going to write me up as saying, well, he is, you know, he's a gossiper. He's this, he's a complainer. He's always stirring up trouble in such. No, you're not going to read that on my monthly or quarterly assessment as an employee. You're not going to read that. You're going to read, he's professional. He does his job. Period. Okay. All right. So let's look back at James 3. All right. So, you know, stuff happens. So we have to be very careful not to have bitterness in our heart, and much less have that party spirit, which would cause us then to electioneer, to have people on our side whenever a decision needs to be made. Can I share examples with you guys? I mean, man, I'm telling you. Okay, so back to the party spirit. Okay, so what happens is often there's a big decision that needs to be made at a church. The ones that I've sat in as pastor have involved building construction, have involved building an addition to the existing building. You know, you learn a lot about construction. You learn about a lot about subcontracting. You learn about a lot about the wiring and electricity, and you learn a lot about that stuff when you sit in on meetings. But what I also learned is that not everybody is on board. Now, let me say here, church family, and I'm going to say this as James says to say it with all humility. I think that anything with two heads is a monster. Yoo-hoo. Anything with no head is dead. Every living organism should have one head. Why do I say that? It's because I've seen, listen carefully, church family, I'm going to get into the nuts and bolts, but I want to impart some understanding to us tonight. When you empower people in your congregation with a vote, and they are carnal Christians, and they don't have spiritual maturity, the spiritual maturity that the Bible says an elder or a leader in the church with a vote should have, then it's going to be, they're going to conduct themselves as carnal, like Paul said. They're going to conduct themselves as babies in Christ. They're going to conduct themselves as men or women who are not even saved. Okay, here's a scenario. And true story happened in one of the churches in Illinois. And we were going to have a major vote about adding an addition to the existing building that we had. And so what happened, some of the people that were against that vote, were against that decision, they picked up the phone. And they started making phone calls to people they knew in the church, listen carefully, that had not attended the church in years, that were not in favor of that decision to build an extra building on that church building. And then all of a sudden, when we show up, everybody, I mean, this is a packed boardroom. Every other month, it's not packed. This month, it is packed with people I have not even seen. I don't even know whose faces. That was the first time that I've seen, and I've been their pastor for a couple years already. And you could, as you walk in, man, you could cut the environment, the air with a machete. Some of them are sitting like this, like big swollen bullfrog. Boom. And they have their game face on, and they're ready for war. And then you can imagine how the other side is. Just the same. And I'm thinking within myself, you know, I hate, and I've told the Lord, I said, Lord, I hate this about church meetings. I hate this. I despise this. That God's people have to square off as if they're in a saloon drinking beer rather than in God's house trying to make decisions for the future of that church. I remember the many times after board meetings that I went home and I would tell my wife, my daughter's mother, I would tell her, I said, if it wasn't God calling me, I would just give up on ministry, because what takes place behind those doors in a board meeting, in a leader's meeting, is not what should be taking place according to the Word of God. There's too much carnality. There are too many power plays. There's too much stacking the deck in one's favor so that they can get their way when the final decision is made. I hated that. I hated that. But see where I'm coming from, church family? See, what's this happening? It's bitter, a bitter heart. It is selfish ambition. It is a party spirit. I'm going to make phone calls. I'm going to stack the deck in my favor so that I have more people that can vote, and they can outnumber the other people that I'm against in this church regarding the vote, and I get my way. Horrible. Horrible. Let's move on. Of course. And it's very divided. It is horrible. But it happens in churches because of this political party stuff. All right? Notice what James says. Verse 15. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, and what? What's the last word? Demonic. Doesn't the King James Version say of the devil? Yeah. Where does this wisdom? What?
NIV, I'm not of the devil.
Of the devil. So where does this wisdom come from? The devil. It, does it come from God? Does God want his people to be divided? Does God want his people with their hearts full of bitter envy, trying to get their way at the expense of other people? You know, I've seen a lot of people leave church and say, I'm never setting foot in that church because those people do not know how to conduct themselves as Christians. Who's heard a story or two along those lines? I'm not going back. They don't act like Christians. I'm out of here. I've also had people tell me, Joe, if it wasn't for you, I'd be gone. Me and my family would be at another church. We love you, Pastor. We support you. If it wasn't for you being our pastor, we'd be out of here. I mean, what am I supposed to tell them? I love you guys. I thank them. Thank you for that. But I'm sorry that you're seeing all these shenanigans take place among the leadership of the church. And you know what happens, church family? You know what happens? The way those people got into office was we did in those churches what Paul says not to do. Don't elect people rashly. Pray about it. Seek God about it. Make sure they meet the criteria of an elder, of an overseer in a church. Can I get a witness in the house? They must be cool-tempered. They must not have an agenda. They must not have bitterness in their heart. They must not be envious. Okay, let's move on. Notice verse 16. For where envy and selfish ambition exist, confusion and every evil thing will be there. Isn't that amazing? Where you see this party spirit, I'm going to redefine it, okay, the way another lexicon defines it. Selfish ambition, we can see it as the desire to seek followers to cause division. The desire to seek followers to cause divisions. How many of us know the devil is all about divide and conquer? Right? Doesn't he want to divide? What did Jesus say in Matthew chapter 12? A house divided against itself cannot what? Cannot stand. A kingdom divided against itself cannot stand. I mean, is that pretty self-explanatory? The kingdom of God, if it's divided against itself, cannot stand. Right? And how many years, how many millennia have we been divided as Christians? The Baptists don't eat out of the same plate as the Pentecostals. Right? The Pentecostals don't eat out of the same plate as the Methodists. When Oral Roberts went up to the tower and said, you know, God spoke to him to raise $8 million, you know what the Methodist denomination did? They said, we will never ordain any Oral Roberts University or theological seminary graduates as long because of oral shenanigans. That started making me a little hot under the collar. I didn't tell him to go up. I didn't tell him, hey, you know, tell people that, you know, you want the $8 million. No, I didn't. We divide. Some of the things we divide over is stupid. Some Pentecostals are divided over, well, you know, if you don't speak in tongues, then you're not saved. Are you kidding me? There's no scripture like that in the Bible. In fact, let me put that in perspective. 1 Corinthians 13, Paul said, if I speak with the tongues and of angels but have not love, I am a clanging cymbal and a resounding gong. Isn't that what he said? I'm just a dude making a lot of noise. Those tongues don't benefit me. A lot of Pentecostals need to hear that. A lot of people are divided over, well, you know, I get the Holy Spirit after I'm saved. Others say I get the Holy Spirit when I'm saved. Others say I get the Holy Spirit when I'm saved and when after I'm saved. I'm like, who cares? Just get him. All right. So far, so good, everybody?
Yes.
Verse 17, but the wisdom that is from above is first what? It's pure. Then, notice the word, the next word, peaceable. The NIV says peace-loving, doesn't it?
Yes.
Gentle, willing to yield. Notice this. Willing to yield. Willing to yield. Willing to yield. Leaders need to be more willing to yield instead of sinking their heels in and push harder to try to get their way. This is the wisdom from God. It is pure, it is peace-loving, it is gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits. Notice the next word, without what? Without partiality. And without hypocrisy. Verse 18, now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Please understand that when the Bible was written, there were no chapters and there were no verses. These were added later so that we could locate certain verses in the Bible. So really, the thought, James continues the thought in chapter 4, verse 1. It's the same thing. Notice chapter 4, verse 1. Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. Do we see that? Why do people fight in churches? Because they have bitter envy in their hearts and they are all about having the desire to seek followers to cause division. Sometimes, let me say here, I think y'all know me to know me well enough to know that I'm not going to tell you I'm a spiritual giant. I'm not. I can be goofy at times, and some of the things that comes out of my mouth, I'm like, did I really say that? Then it'll bother me for hours, and I'll say, Lord, forgive me. But I'm real. But listen, there have been few times when I needed to be the adult in a boardroom when the board members were all about this, and I as the pastor had to sit there, be willing to yield, be gentle, and keep my mouth shut. I remember one time, this was in 2014, I'll never forget it, October 2014, and we had hit a plateau in our attendance at church. And we were not growing. It was kind of at a stalemate. And so because we had, please remember, at this particular church, we had gone into $2 million worth of debt. And we were paying it off rather quickly. But leaders get very, what's the word I'm looking for? Skittish about when the numbers are not up, and consequently sometimes the money is not coming in the way they think it should be to pay off that building. So they suggested, with me there, all these leaders, they suggested that at the next board meeting that they would do a pastoral review, including me. And they said, we'll give two compliments for every criticism. I said, oh, that's fair enough. I didn't say anything. I just thought to myself, that's fair enough. Well, at the next board meeting, it was open season on Joe. No compliments, 7 scathing criticisms. Too edgy. I wanted to go, no, not TV, edit that out, bestie. Too edgy, that was one of them. Out of touch with people, I'm thinking, you don't know how much in touch I am with people. I didn't say anything. They went on and on and on. The only compliment they had was, he's a good teacher. That was it. And don't you think I wanted to tell him, you know what? You can take this job and look for another pastor because I'm done. And I even told the elders as much. I said, look, How many of y'all like that I keep it real? You know, how many of y'all know this is not a fairy tale book? There's context to all this. I told the elders, I said, you know what? What bothers me about all those meetings is I don't have the support of the leaders of this church. I don't have the encouragement of, and I didn't, of the leaders of this church, but I have unscathing criticism and lots of it. After that, well, that got around to the, oh, pastor, we love you. Oh, pastor, you did a good job with the sermon. I wanted to... Yeah. That's why I say sometimes, as goofy as I can be and as immature as I can come across, I've been the big boy when everybody else was acting like nothing but a couple of kids and brats demanding to have their way. I'm telling you, church family, I'm glad we took a step of faith in that building, but I'm telling you what happened. That building became an idol to that leadership. Everything was all about, let's make sure our offerings are up. Let's make sure we get that building paid off. Okay? All right, so where do fights come from among us? Bert? A bitter heart, selfish ambition, the desire to seek followers to cause division. Was this a good lesson, guys? Let's pray. Father, thank you for your love for us. Lord, help us never to have bitterness in our hearts. Help us to heal from hurts. Lord, sometimes we allow hurts to fester, to grow. We play with resentment in our hearts. We refeel the situation over and over and over as if it happened yesterday. We just ask, Lord God, for your grace upon us as leaders. Father, that we would lead with grace, that we would lead with hope and faith, Lord, and encouragement. And Lord, even at times when a hard criticism needs to be made, may it be done out of love, Lord, and not out of some detached, distant, standoffish manner. We thank you for all this in Jesus' name. Amen.